This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Welcome back to AetherStream. Last time we left off as we left Twintania's lair of the castle in beautiful glory, brought back the knight to Ilmeg, and ran into our old pal Rajit.
We use the word pal loosely. Like I said, he's obsessed with us. He is obsessed.
It's okay. More like frenemy.
Yeah.
I don't know. The way I see it, we stepped on his lawn a little too much, and now he's just chasing after us. His little scooter.
He's kind of going a little bit Gran Torino on us right now. Like, I'm not going to lie, Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino, this is how it feels.
I'm not going to be able to unsee that. Oh my gosh. Yes, he is Clint Eastwood. I'm nice. Not going to unsee that.
he's an angry old man.
Yes. So, Crone, you want to take off there?
Yeah. So, immediately after we dispose of the veil of light that's sealing the skies, we returned to the Crystarium in concern because, you know, we had just left them dealing with the remnants of the Yulmoran army. So we wanted to check and make sure they were okay. Turns out nothing happened. Everything's great. But as you walk into the plaza, this is where we get to meet our very
creepy stalker.
Fandom grown. Yes, the crazy stalker.
Everyone rat weasel grandpa.
But, you know, as you'll find out, we get to talk and speak with Solus Zos Galvis, also known as Emmett Selk Asian. So what was everyone's first impressions when you get to meet this guy for the first time?
He's going to backstab us the first chance he gets.
I didn't have that kind of impression. I'm like, okay, so somebody from the first that we've seen in the cutscenes, but never actually met, is here in the flesh, maybe? I kind of was curious if maybe by chance he actually got transported there by the Crystal Exarch.
Oh.
That was my first thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you think about it, last couple times, other than Thancred, they've brought back two people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, maybe, but be kind of hard to get those wires crossed.
Considering he's been very selective in who he's brought over so far, there was a small chance of him being whisked over. I mean, he's kind of, you've seen him in the prior cutscenes during Stormblood, and he's kind of been a little bit, you know, mysterious and very sarcastic, obviously. And he's still over on the first with us doing the same thing. It's like, okay, maybe you were brought over, but otherwise, once he presents himself as being an Asian, and we kind of figured that he's an Asian, everybody's kind of twigged that he's an Asian by now.
Yeah.
They all kind of act a certain way.
I think it was the last time we've seen Emmett Selk on the screen prior to this introduction to us as the character was he was talking to his grandson about Black Rose, and he made that strange quip about the aspects between Black Rose and the Flood of Light being equivalent and how it was a really good idea. So he's like, all right, so grandson, do that thing. I'm going to bounce. And he kind of just walks off laughing. It was just really kind of like mysterious, you know, and had no context until prior to Shadowbringers, what he was referring to. But, you know, you got the information about the aspects and how Black Rose and the Flood of Light are equivalent in aspect. And so, you know, here he comes. I have to say I did laugh when he first was introduced because he did that thing.
Funny. Where
he slumps his shoulders and he throws a fit. Like he points at you and he's like, you missed everything up. Like, and you're like, whoa, wait. And you're like trying to the voice acting at this part. Where he's whining. He's literally whining that you stop the effects of the Flood of Light.
He's very theatrical, isn't he?
Oh, he's so melodramatic.
Drama.
He kind of reminds me a lot of some of the classic portrayals of the devil in literature, where he kind of shows up and he's like, I'm not the bad guy here. I am just basically using what you've already given me. And it's not me who's bad. You guys are the ones who do bad things. I just help facilitate it.
I just give that nice, necessary push.
Yeah, but, you know, he shows up and he's like, and he has kind of does the same again, like the whole classical literature thing. It's like, you know, I'm the devil, but, you know, I actually want to try to be good once. So let's try this. So the only other thing I thought about, and this was kind of random, but I couldn't get over the whole like fur coat thing. And I just kept on thinking, like, isn't he hot? Like, doesn't that, like, I mean, why doesn't he wear a lighter jacket? This is very warm out here.
It's me, Anastasia.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Then that brings my kind of question is, do assassins actually feel temperature when they're in bodies?
I mean, they're dead. So they're dead. I'm pretty sure they're dead. Like, they're the souls of dead people. So I'm pretty sure they don't feel a damn thing.
I don't know if they're dead, if they're like more disembodied.
So, what was that, Crow?
He was in a clone as well. That body he occupied was a clone. So
true.
No idea about the temperature control behind a clone. But yeah, definitely a awesome introduction for our, you know, the villain of the story. We know, you know, they mentioned in FanFest that he was going to be very important. So everyone was paying attention to him as he was introduced. And we get a chance to go to a room and find out the Crystal Exarch made us food. Left us
sandwiches.
Makes
us sandwiches. Why is Adba in my room again? Like, I'm not joking. Yeah. That is my personal space. It's like, can't you just leave me outside?
It's my safe space.
Get out of my room.
You're staring at the sandwiches, and then he's like, Crystal Exarch is keeping you well fed. Like, sent a hint of jealousy there, and you're just like, look, man, I didn't do anything. Like,
don't be jealous of my damn sandwiches. Let me eat them in peace.
But there was a part in that real small part that kind of actually got me in my feels, not gonna lie. When you get to it's Ardbert, every time he comes into that music that plays, and just every time he speaks. But he started to, you know, talk about how Emmett Selk's a danger, but it's probably smart to listen to what he has to say because you don't want to enter in blind because you'll lose everything like I did. And you get the chance to tell him about, like, talk about Seto, which was really nice because it's like not everyone. You haven't lost everyone. You still have your
have your Borb.
You still have your Amaro who remembers you. And then he, you know, you guys actually get into a conversation. You know, he's like, well, I'm not the only one with a friend. Don't you have a chocobo or something like that? And then it just starts that nice little like, I don't know. It's a nice transition because at that point, Arbert is no longer your ghastly shade, but he's just trying to be more of a friend. And that starts to like go up from there.
Yes, yeah,
like connecting the bondship between your steed and you.
Mm-hmm. But then you end up going back into the ocular after good night's sleep, which once again, I will say, is very interesting that for the first time ever, they focus a lot on the Warrior of Light sleeping. They're worried about our health.
Yeah.
Just like, please take a nap. We're actually concerned that you're killing yourself.
Finally. You know, everyone always told us to get some rest, but now we're actually being forced. There are cutscenes where we get some rest. So I think they're really emphasizing go get some bedtime.
Guys,
go to sleep, guys. Stop playing Final Fantasy IV.
No more of these 72-hour rage streams.
Mm. Oh my God. And the part I think that's funny about going back to the, it's the ocular again. Emmett Selk says at the end of your prior in meeting with him, his little introduction, I'll be seeing you again real soon.
Yeah, he's like,
and guess
did
who the fuck's
not
there?
Say that?
Oh God, no. Who gave this guy the rights to walk in here?
The Crystal Exarch doesn't even bat an eyelid. He's just like, oh, it's you. And I'm just like, is he allowed in here? Were you invited to this party?
There's a very interesting like permission that seemed to be that only the Exarch knew. The rest of them were like, ugh, you again already? And he's like, I told you I was watching.
I was going to be here in like a minute. What's your problem? What is your damage?
Considering that the Crystal Exarch has had more or less like 100 years to kind of plan for your arrival and knew what was kind of at stake. And plus, as he knows of the Asians, I would have to imagine that he would expect at least one to show up. It's like, we're kind of screwing with their plan, but they're not going to show up and do anything. Of course not.
I mean, on top of that, he has, I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to stop it there. But he has all that knowledge of what happened prior.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it makes sense now after he goes through and is like, oh yeah, he's part of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes sense now. But then it was like, no, get him out of here. I don't want to have this meeting with that spy here.
I was actually disappointed that he didn't like travel with us the entire time. But anyways.
Spoilers. No, I'm just kidding.
We have the Exarch, you know, remind us that, you know, we've in the few, you know, days that we've been there, we've done a lot more for the realm than, you know, they've been able to in the past 100 years. And they decide that now, because there's 3 Light Wardens left, they're going to split up the party. And
worst idea.
They always tell you don't do that, but they're like, it's probably prudent if we split up. Alphino decides to go to Colusia. We have Alice going to Amarong, and then you get assigned with Urianche and Thancred and Minfilia to go to the Rock Teak of Greatwood. Right before you leave, however, he requests that you stop by a church to go get a tablet. And so this is a really, really tiny thing, but I thought it was really interesting they brought that up, because not a lot of people know it, but Yshtola was made an archon because she's a translator. That's one of her things. For the Sharlians, she translates ancient texts. So the Exarch knew that. And that's why he's like, hey, can you go get that ancient text to say sorry? Because she's mad.
Can you
me.
Give her a present?
Maybe like, she'll talk to me after this.
Yeah. Maybe it'll smooth things over. And he's like, oh, well, I got to go and do this thing. So, or he uses the excuse of having to go and see Vorthry.
Can you help me? She won't talk to me ever.
But I have to go and see Vorthry, so I can't really deliver it myself. And I'm like, nice cop out, man.
It was really funny. It opened the opportunity, though, kind of give you a little history lesson on the first couple quests. When you go into that church, you find out that the church, or the religious group that's known as the Knights Blessed, are actually descendants of people who created the Church of the First Light. When the whole, you know, they explain the whole concept. When the flood happened, the Cinders came out and they saw it as a, like a divine retribution. You know, their God had forsaken them. But at that time, they ended up converting to a faith in the dark instead of the faith of the light. And that's when they started worshiping the night instead. So it's like this like kind of like transitionary process. As you're walking into the forest, you're learning that, you know, these people cast away the light, which they used to worship in the past. So I think it was really cool that they were able to tie that all in, the church and then visiting the group.
Yeah, I do find it weird that you know, their main source was, or for religion, was sourced as light, and then you know, the flood of light happens and now they're switching over to
dark. And the
dark
light's trash, guys. Light is so out. Let's stop worshiping the night, baby.
The night's come more comfortable. It's safe.
The night is safer
and doesn't burn my eyes.
Literally.
True. Oh my god. So what did we all think of Rakdika?
Lahi.
Yeah, Lahi. Hey, girl, Lahi.
I actually really love that song. At first, I had to look it up. I thought it was Florence and the Machine when I first listened to it. I'm like, well, you know, they did the songs from 15, so maybe. Yeah. So, but yeah. Vocalist? I don't think so. Is it?
No, I was just saying what you were saying. That.
Okay. So... me being a person of wilderness and whatnot and loving forests, just walking through there is like, I want to live here. This is my home.
Forest aesthetic is the best. So they did a fantastic job with rock, Greatwood.
Oh God, they did.
It's so awesome.
I will say I was a little disappointed at this point in time that the fire of the one town in the cutscene or opening trailer, we walk into it, it's already burned. It's like, what? We're not going to get a last stand here?
No, it's already burned down.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Again, it makes sense now because like all those events were taking place as you were coming to the place.
Well, a lot of the stuff in the trailer.
In the trailer, she says they're waiting for you to show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was like a spot further in the story, but then... it makes sense now because then looking back at the trailer, still fighting Xenos in the beginning of the trailer. Yeah. These are the moments that take place during that time. Because for us, it was probably just like months between Thancred collapsing and then us going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for them, it was Thancred was 5 years. The others were a certain amount of years. It's like, whoa, did not see that coming.
It's a long time.
Yep. So, you know, we get into that town and then, of course, we have our nice welcoming group, but it's not the same one we've been running into.
Oh, that cutscene makes me laugh every single time because they show up and they aim their weapons at you. And then Emmett Selk's just like, good luck. I'm bouncing. Bye.
I'm head out.
See you, losers.
Well, and what made it worse is that they, you know, you're trying to. So there's actually several things like. You're trying to make them feel better, you know, not worry that these strangers are suddenly walking. And you have the opportunity to say Koopo.
Yep.
And, like, you reply Koopo to the armed, you know, these armed villagers. And then Thancred looks at you and is like, it's not going to be so funny when they stab us. Like, he's mad that you're trying to make a joke.
I will admit, I did say Koopo. I mean,
yes.
Of course. but then everything was further complicated by the fact that, you know, Yshtola can kind of see auras and, you know, you've already absorbed so much Sin Eater light that as far as she's concerned, you're a Sin Eater.
Yeah, but like we she's didn't like, even know this.
Seen that amount of light before, and she's like, "There's, you know, there's a really bad thing that's entering the forest right now. You all need to stop it." And then she realizes it's you, but it's like because she hasn't seen that light in such a long time that she forgot what it was. She forgot it was your aura. She thought that was the aura of a light warden.
You turn around and tell her, like, that's really rude, you stole her. Have you forgotten me? Did you forget me so easily?
Who I am, yeah.
Rude. We went on that one date. Wait, we didn't go on a date. That was Sir Emmerich. Never mind. We didn't go on a date. I will admit, when she pointed that out, I started to have suspicions. It's like, oh, wait, maybe we aren't converting over to a light warden yet? But we're definitely absorbing the light, and it's probably actually going to turn bad at this point.
Yeah, we're eating it and consuming it rather than dissipating it, and it's kind of still hanging around.
Yeah, and see, that's what I thought, because we got only on the first dungeon. You know, we put our hand up in the air, boom, the sky's back to darkness. Yay, we got rid of the light. Or did we?
Yeah, we're just kind of like, we're just a conduit for it now. We're just kind of holding on to it.
Yep, we're like, a magnet.
Like post-Christmas weight, guys. Like, we're holding on to that.
We are a magnet of light. But it did bring a slight, like, oh, God, she doesn't recognize me. Mm-hmm. I know she's blind, but for her not to recognize my aether, and then again, ouch. Yeah.
Like, you're still, I know you can't see, but this is really shady. Like, we've gone on so many adventures together.
And
minus 10 cool points.
Yeah, minus 10 cool points. But the other thing that kind of made me worried is that further along when we get into Ritika, you know, Minfilia also points out that she can see that light in you, but she didn't make a mention of it. And you're just like, you knew this whole time?
Why didn't you tell me, you little brat?
But I will admit,
God damn it, this is regular Minfilia all over again.
Yep. I will admit, I do like that when we get escorted to their actual township. I don't know if I can call it a township or what, because you're inside of a tree, it feels like.
No, Slitherbow.
What it reminded me of personally was the entrance to Tamterra Deepcroft.
Oh.
Because you have that center area where you have like you have to fight the skeletons, and then it has like all those spokes. And one of the things that actually I really dug about the area is the definite similarities to Gridania, because you even have like the things dug into the rocks where you have the candles, and then also the design of the doors. You have a lot of snake motifs, which, you know, Gridania, their symbol is the adders. And there was a lot of like remnants of that around Ritika, which I thought was really kind of cool. And yeah, it makes me kind of like really hopeful for things that may tie back to Gridania later and learning more about like the symbol of the adder, because I remember, you know, way back when there was, I think some lore that suggested that symbol had been around long before anybody in Gridania. So, and nobody knew where it came from.
Yeah, it's like Amdapori or something.
Twin Adders is Gelmoran, actually, the symbol.
Gelmora, yeah.
Yeah, you actually can see it. If you do, what's the dungeon? The Deepcroft.
Tamterra Regular, yeah.
Yeah, when you're in the Deepcroft, you can look, the crypts there have the Twin Adder symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually, that was the symbol of Gelmora, because at the time when Gelmora was established, it was a cooperation between the Hur and the Elizan, and that each snake represents those two races in like joined hands to support the nation. So
at least that's what we know right now. Maybe that's not going to be true in the future, though. So anyways,
I will like to point out that Ronso, because we're in the first, I love him. I can't remember his name, but I do love him.
Oh, yes.
Runar.
Yes. If anybody that should be a part of the patches, I feel like Runar would be one of them.
He is a precious fluffy boy, and I will defend him to the death. He's so sweet and so good.
So, I know I'm a little bit lost here, and I'm probably skipping a couple spots, but one of the things that we do is a small quest line. It's still main story, is getting this jewel for this one girl, because they had some people pass away. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of where it starts to sink in. Like, they really need the darkness to come back. As, you know, you're holding the ceremony, everybody is just gathered there, and you see this nice little pool. And this girl puts this gem in the pool and it sinks. But as it sinks, all these other jewels start to sparkle, shimmer, and it kind of reminds you of the night sky and why these people are worshiping the darkness. And like just having that moment brought a little bit of peace to me as to, you know, why we're actually doing this. And it's given me more feels for these people and their desperate times of the light.
Yeah, that the whole concept of the stone really got me.
Yeah. At least I'm not the only one.
I was very emotional about it, I'm not gonna lie. Like when they revealed what it was. Like, cause I mean, at the time, as far as you understood, it was just a simple stone that you were, and like later on in the quest line they show you what it means and what it represents, and you're like, oh, my heart.
Yep.
That's a lot more than I expected.
It's just like, I know that they're actually just doing what we would consider the celebration of life. They're not mourning their death. They're just embracing life.
And it's, they, you know, they're trying to replicate that night sky, the memory of the night sky that they had, you know, prior to the flood. And they saw it as a way to like guide the soul past the veil of light that sealed their lands, that if they, by, you know, committing them to that like replica of night, they would be able to get to where they needed to go in the afterlife. Yep. And it was just, that was heavy symbolism. It was really, really good.
There's a lot of emotions involved in this, this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. To all our listeners, Shadowbringers makes you cry.
Promise. More than a heaven sword.
So instead of Shadowbringers, it's more like Tearbringers?
Tearbringers.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, I don't know if it's good. It just makes me want to cry.
I mean, how many times have we mentioned that we cried at certain points in time? Like,
oh, yeah.
Least four, and we're not even halfway through.
Exactly. It's just like every 5 minutes is like, well, this made me cry. And then Crow's just like, well, that definitely made me cry.
So after the ceremony, you know, I'm assuming we were already handed the tablet to Yshtola at this point. We do a couple more quests during that time. And then we start to embark on our journey to go. I totally skipped a spot. I think I skipped a spot, but I know at this point I'm saying that we're going towards the other side, the east side of Ratika. Yeah, I skipped the north side.
Yeah, we're going to visit the Children of the Everlasting Dark.
Yes. That's the part that I skipped.
Sorry. Oh my goodness. I'm not like, so, you know, not to get too crazy into it, but the differences of faith in between the two religious groups in the Rocktega Greatwood. Like, you have the Knights Blessed who have all these practices, you know, they have those, they refer to each other by the names of their forebearers, like their parents or their masters, because they don't want their true names to be taken by the light, which is really cool. But then, and then they have the, you know, they greet each other with Ronkin words and stuff like that. But then you get to the Children of Everlasting Dark, and their thing is the only true darkness is death. And they're like, all right, we're going to raise poisonous spiders.
It's
and
kind of religious extremism, isn't it?
It's like they were literally the extremists of the faith of the dark. And it was really cool to see these two like conflicting like ideals between the same concept, because it's very realistic. Obviously, the Children of Everlasting Dark have been issuing attacks on members of the Knights Blessed, because in their mind, they feel that by killing people, that's ensuring their true salvation, because death is the true night. And it's like, whoa, like you just like it's concepts that are so far removed from anything you've ever been familiar with from the source and its own, you know, its own sphere of knowledge and ideals. But
you can kind of draw the parallel between them and the Lambs of Dalamud, who
you kind of
want to, I can't remember, is it they want to raise the moon again, or they worshipped the moon and they were like, hey, the moon came down, this is pretty cool. Killed a whole bunch of people. That was A-OK by us. See, I see the parallel there. Like, I think the Lambs of Dalamud are definitely the one example on the source of a weird death cult.
Weird death cult, yeah.
Definitely can see that.
You know, you had to go over there to read some monuments. You know, they that tablet that you got from the church explained that there's a way to get to the other side of the forest using, you know, ancient Ronkin knowledge, but in order to get that knowledge, you had to translate from those monuments that the Children of the Everlasting Dark were holding hostage in a way. And they designed that plan to kill the spiders with the bees.
Oh god, not the bees!
Bees? Oh, no!
They're in my eyes!
Mm-hmm. And you find those plaques, and interestingly enough, in the plaques that you're able to translate, or as you're looking at it while she's translating, you notice a certain band of people who you're very familiar with on the mm-hmm. wall. And you know, it's a really interesting concept of like they're referring to the party of the original Warriors of Light in an archaeological way, like in the distant past, even though you're still talking to him in your room.
Yeah, I mean, Arbit shows up and gives you a little tidbit on that, doesn't he? He's just like, hey,
yeah, this, he does.
Maybe this dude that kind of wanted to come and look at the other paintings here kind of did this one. And maybe he's mm-hmm. also the one that kind of decided to try and chip it off the wall as well. Maybe he thinks we're assholes, or thought we were, because yeah. he's dead. The paintings are very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed.
They are. The one that kind of got me was not that one, but the one that came way, way after it. But yet, chronologically, it was the first painting that was there. And you see a couple figures there. And it, I don't know, it just... It seemed like the sprites that you would see in Eureka, or
that's how the elementals are portrayed.
Yes.
Yes, the elementals yep. from the Shroud.
And like you just see a white one and a dark one, and you're just kind of curious, like, what are these for? And then our good old buddy decides to make an appearance at this time. I don't know if I can call him our buddy at this point, because he's still sketched to me.
Yeah, Rat Weasel Grandpa is kind of sketchy in his Grandma, I'm Anastasia Furkite.
Oh my goodness.
Well, he comes by and he talks about it.
His little spiel.
Yeah, does his little spiel. And, you know, this is one of those moments when they did the teaser trailer at E3. And they're like, oh yeah, don't worry. That's not even the biggest surprise. Like, that's that moment there where you're like, oh shit, that's the picture of the primals, both Heidelin and Zodiark? What? No.
It's
no.
Daddy Darkness and Mama Light.
I like actually audibly squeed when we got there, because I'm like, finally, we're at this moment in the trailer. I've been waiting.
Give me the spot.
Yep. It's like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen. Woo! So, a little bit overexcited, I guess.
It's okay. I mean, I'm pretty sure we were all fangirling at that point. It's like, I know this spot. Yes.
And what's even funny is that's one of like Yoshi-P's most, he loves that phrasing. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I guess it was just the impact it had on the community. Because when he went to visit Ether, while we were on Ether, he typed that exact same phrase in Shout Chat.
In really? Kigane.
Yeah. Like, and everyone was just like, ah, like, you know, screaming. Because it's like, what do you mean? Because no one had context at the time. So it was just, yeah, that's one of his favorite, like, phrases from all of Shadowbringers, because he even got it on a t-shirt, so it's
I've seen the pictures. Yep.
Yeah, they like that phrasing, like the just the way it hit everyone, like, oh come on, like, yeah,
the eldest of primals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Le gasp. so we, you know, Yshtolid finally does the last of her digging and gets all the information. Grandpa Radis, I don't even know what I'm going to be calling him for the rest of this talk, but he just kind of, you know, does his little spiel. We're like, oh, great. So we head back to, oh God, I'm forgetting the name of the town now. We head back to the Great Tree.
Fano. Or Sotheby's.
Yeah, Sotheby's.
Yeah, it's Sotheby's, yeah.
So we head back to Sotheby's, and, you know, we do a little bit more quests, and then we kind of decide that now's the time that we must act, as there is hints of people starting to come in, and they're like, oh, great. So these people are still following us.
Yeah, Ranjit shows up and serves us that nice little ultimatum after beating up a member of the Knights Blessed or poisoning them. I don't actually know what he does.
He poisoned them.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, by the way, the children of the Everlasting Dark are now like the religious leaders in this area.
So you need to convert your faith right now.
And Yshtol is just like, sure, Jan, sure. It's one hell of an ultimatum, though. It's just like, your faith sucks, change it. Mm-hmm. Also, you will now bend knee to us because we own this area for some reason.
Like, yeah, they try to declare martial authority over it, and it's just like, oh, goodness. Like,
you're almost like a cat. It rubs its face on stuff and then declares that it owns it. And it's like, that's not how that works.
This is mine now. You must now bow to it. So at that point, you know, they send their troops to go stall these people as we try to go to the temple to get, or not to the temple. We go to, oh God.
It was like the ruins, the rock, yeah. The Ronkin ruins in the water.
Right. Sorry. The Ronkin ruins.
Yeah. You had to, so that, you know, that tablet you recovered explained that you could reseek the allies of Ronka, but in order to do so, you had to get a seal. And in order to get the seal, you had to do all these, like, it was, so it went from this, it starts here and then continues to get more and more very Pulp Fiction style Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah, I was going to say.
It's the Tomb Raider underwater puzzles all over again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you follow this puzzle about the totems, and when you unlock it, you get this owl seal, and this is supposed to be the insignia of the Empire, and it's supposed to show you that you're fellow allies of Ronka. So you're able to take this medallion. This is what gets you into the other side of the forest, and you know this is where we get to meet for the first time the Vieira first, which is known as the Vies.
The first bun.
The Vies.
They're not too happy about us being there, though, to be honest.
Oh, like, no, they immediately attack. Like, that was funny. Like,
I have to say this now. When she pulled out that lance with the chain wrapped around it, I was instantly in love with that lance, and I was going to do anything to get that lance until I found out that the only way you can get it is by running the dungeon of that area, and it's like, no.
Down the lance, yep.
But it's still a beautiful lance, and the fact that, you know.
Dude, the whole, yeah.
Bunny girl is like tossing
great.
Yes.
Almost all of the weapons were amazing. Like, for me, it was the bow. I ran the dungeon at the end of this zone. I don't even want to talk about how many times.
The gif in there is nice. But they do kind of turn around and tell us that we're not crap because we show them the owl. And then they're just like, oh, wait, we should probably stop. They have the owl.
They're allies of Ronka.
Although, if I remember correctly, one of the Vies is kind of like, I don't know. I think we should shoot him anyways.
Yes. Oh, God. That's cynical.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, you guys are pretty okay. We're just going to run off ahead and not tell you where our village is. Like, try not to get lost, okay? Try not to stray from the path. And I'm like, Ystola was right at that point. She's just like, would it kill you to escort us?
Nah. It's just dangerous terrain. You guys will be fine.
But then again, the Vies have probably been isolated from anybody for like hundreds of years, and they probably don't have manners anymore. I was just like, you know what, fair dues, it's fine, it's whatever. I've got legs, I can walk.
And, you know, to be fair, speaking of things that kind of reminded you of other things in pop culture, there was a nice blue path of, like, pretty blue flowers. Oh, so yes. It's kind of like, I wanted to actually just start singing, like, you know, the theme from Wizard of Oz.
Follow the yellow brick road.
We're off to see the wizard. Hopefully we don't get copyrighted on that.
Nice.
Oh, God damn it! Copyright music. Don't sue me, bro.
There was no tunage there, so we should be good.
That is true.
But see, I didn't even know that. So like, I immediately just started walking off and got lost and died a couple times.
The enemies in that area are a little bit terrifying. There's like some plant thing that pops out of like a flower pot and then eats your face. I'm like, ooh, who designed that? That's nightmare fuel.
That is very nightmare fuel. Because it's like, oh, it's just a pot. And did that pot just move?
Where is the person who designed this creature? Who designed the model for that? I just want to talk.
So, and that brings us to the actual other side's Aether Township. If there was a way I could find something like that in real life, I would go visit it next year. Like, hands down, you guys can link me something. Yes. If you can find me a village in the trees, I will go visit it.
Endor.
Yeah. Endor, just go live there.
they're really just like giant, less fuzzy and less obnoxious Ewoks. They have their little tree town.
It really was gorgeous.
It is wonderful.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. Like, I kind of wish that we had more of it, but you know.
Yeah.
One of the things I would like to point out is I tried to jump off the ledge. Just, you know, oh hey, I could just jump off the ledge and get to the ground easier. Yeah, if you actually look down, you can't jump off the ledge, and it goes down quite a ways.
It's just like, nah, you can't exercise your right to throw yourself off things here. I'm sorry.
So we talked to the township and, you know, we tell them what we're trying to do. We're trying to get into the ruins and we're trying to get some stuff. Well,
because we think the Light Warden might be there. Or we have a discussion with them and they're just like, well, the only place it could conceivably be hiding is in the ruins of Ronka.
So we go into the ruins and you want more nightmare fuel. That freaking dodo with the face on its belly.
The burbs as you're looking for like the secondary statuette to like open the way to this like a little thing to power up the ruins. Those were awful. Like, I don't like those. Also, the owl thing, like the thing with the owls and having to pick the correct path so you don't lose the statuette, like that was it's stupidly frustrating. I didn't know what I was doing wrong. And I was like, oh, it's based on the way the owls are facing. And then I kicked myself for a solid 10 minutes. Like, it's so simple.
See, I didn't realize that as well because I was just trying to speed rush it because at that time we were starting to record and it's like, oh, I got to get this done. And then it's like, I don't know how many times I've lost that challenge, but I can definitely tell you when I finally got through there and got into the next area, I was just like, thank God.
all those tests.
Thank God I can actually progress. The stuff that comes after that there was some equal points of frustration for me because, of course you take, I can't remember what her name is, like the leader of the Vise. You go through the ruins with her and your Stola, and there's those, they're not automatons, obviously, like the walking statues. The golems. I was doing everything right. I was round the corner from one, like hidden in a little pocket. But it saw me anyway. And I was like, mechanics, what? Excuse me?
Nope.
See, I didn't have any issues with that one. So,
it was just like, they were going really fast too. And I don't know, anything that moves at that pace usually freaks me out anyway.
Yeah, it's like, you are approaching me way too fast, buddy. Back it up a little bit.
So we get through the first part, you know, and then we're informed that, oh, hey, these people are actually here at the ruins and they're hot on your trail.
Yep. Yeah, they want to. Ranjit's still obsessed with you, by the way, and he wants to come and visit you. And it's just like, how did he get here so fast?
Ranjit has a stick.
Yeah, old. His whole thing. So like when you see, because you hear the news that he's on his way and you're like, oh, I got time. And then he rounds around the corner being chased by the Vise. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
How like, did you get here that fast?
How did you? Yeah, and he's running at you. He's staring at you. And you're like, oh, well, this is how I go. Getting ready to fight him. And it was just this really interesting, like, we'll hold him off. Do what you need to do. And he's just is not going to stop. You get the very strong impression he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going after you. And I believe it's around this point where that hole opened up because the Yulmoran captain was a fool and he stepped on the trap.
Like this is Indiana Jones rules, guys. Don't step on the thing.
Watch where you're going. And
oh my God, I'm about to cry again.
What wasn't it? Like Ranjit tried to jump and then Yashola went to grab him? Or no, like did he grab Yashola?
So
he punts his subordinate off the edge because the subordinate tries to make a deal with you and he just punts him off like, nah.
That's right.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, he loses the vial and Yashola, sadly, or not sadly, I mean you can call me out for being a stone cold cow here, but you stole her, threw herself off the edge to get that vial. And I was like, your intentions are good, but you're still a pain in the ass. So I'm not going to cry.
Yeah, that's right. She went but then
she casts flow again. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? We've already been through this and it didn't work out too well last time.
We had to pull you out of a tree and you were naked.
Not to mention, she's like, you know, I mean, her aether is already messed up and that's why she kind of went blind. Yeah,
I was honestly worried about that mostly was the fact that she had done the spell that had cost her eyes in the first place.
Yeah.
She recast that same spell.
Not just her eyes, but actually technically even Menthilia. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we all got pulled. And Thancred too. Thancred can't manipulate his own aether because of that flow spell.
But apparently,
it hit a lot of people.
Yeah,
that was a huge cost.
You know who can manipulate ether though? Urianjay, who reverse rescues Ranjit into the hole, and I'm like, Oh my god, where is my ability to do that? Why can't I reverse rescue things? Oh wait, because like the griefing potential would be real.
Yeah. Well, let's just admit that Uryanje is our best pal and has saved us countless times, and he deserves the credit that is due.
Yeah. So Ranji gets punted into the hole, which is good, and we hope he's dead. Like, but with characters like that, they never are. Like, I mean, especially if you don't see a body, they're not dead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's an old man with a stick chasing us.
And he's probably still going to chase us. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, with him temporarily out of the picture, we can now go to the Kitana Revel and kind of have a look at that for a little bit. Like, but on the way back, we kind of get sidetracked, don't we? Because we have to fix our little Yshtola problem.
Oh, God, yeah. So I know we're at the part where we need to actually keep going, but we are actually kind of at time now. So guys, we'll have to save that lovely moment a little later.
So entering the Kitana, or well, what happened to Yshtola, we'll talk about that. And then, because we actually get help by somebody we didn't expect.
So look forward to that. I believe we are going to start doing weekly podcasts after this. So should be the first week of November. So please look forward to that. Unless, you know, you hear from our Twitter and says that we don't. We're still in talks on that right now.
Please look forward to it.
Yes. Also, one of the experimental things which will start going out after this podcast, you'll see snippets from this podcast going out just as experimental stuff, just to see if that helps you guys with some of the highlights and softer or tear jerking moments.
Cause there are a lot of those.
Oh God. Yeah. Plenty of those to go around. And then after that, we are also working on some specials, hopefully for the holiday season. So please look forward to those.
Yep.
Time to get spooky.
Yeah. Other than that, guys, you guys enjoy your Halloween or All Saints Wake, depending on which one you like to celebrate.
Yeah, go do the event. The items are pretty sick.
Yes, please do so. You only got a couple days left to do this.
And remember, Garo's ending.
With Graha. Yep.
Yep.
Garo ends in a week. So get all the PvP you want in now.
Oh, God. Well, that's going to be gone by the time this goes up. The day this goes up.
So if you haven't gotten it yet.
If you are listening to this podcast, Garo's over.
Yep, Garo's over. But I am happy that they're going to try to look into alternative invisible shield.
Nice.
Yes, because that was one of the hot ticket items, wasn't it? The invisible shield. Everybody was pretty big on that.
The flaming fist got me too. I had to get those on a few characters just because
I
was looking.
That is true. So thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Hope you guys have a safe All Saints Wake and Halloween. And until then, later days.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodles.
Aetherstream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.